Well, it looks like that nice weather has stolen away some folks. Of course, first service, we had a real nice turnout. So I guess there's no rhyme or reason. Everybody must be out buying chips and dip, getting ready for the game. But it is good to be here in the house of the Lord, no matter how many or how few we are. It is right and proper to do so, and it is a witness to our neighbors, our co-workers, our family, and our friends that we are His children called by His name. And so we come here today to offer our lives as living sacrifice to God. It's supposed to be a beautiful week, too. Absolutely gorgeous all week, at least till the weekend. No rain. So enjoy. Get out and enjoy the weather. Have fun. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we do give you thanks for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. Thank you for the sunshine, for gentle breezes. Thank you for the fall. And Lord, thank you most of all that where two or more are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst of them. Welcome, Jesus. And we pray, God, that what we do here today is pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us. So come, Holy Spirit, into this place, into our hearts and our homes, into our church. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. Fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, I again offer a warm welcome in addition to Pastor. It is a gorgeous day, and take a quick look at those beautiful stained glass windows with the sun shining in. Even if you've come in with a heavy heart, take a look over there, and that should lighten your burden. A reminder to sign the attendance sheets in the red folders. They are located at the end of your pew, and please pass it to others and bring it back to the center aisle. Also this morning, if you do have a prayer request, you will find 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Complete your message and then put them in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring them forward to Pastor Bruce. Our September memory verse, it is hard to believe that we're in the last Sunday in September. That can be found on the front page, your first page of your bulletin, the top center. Please repeat it twice through with me. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have several announcements this morning. I would like to remind folks there is a men's group. It's not in the bulletin, so those involved in the men's group, they will meet this Tuesday at 9 a.m. There is a small project that they are working on and would appreciate any help. Also, a message from Pastor Stephen. The youth group will meet this Wednesday from 5 until 8 p.m. It is grades open to grades 6 through 12. And parents, I don't see any kids out there, but parents, if you have children or if you have grandchildren that meet this criteria of that grade 6 through 12, they don't have to be members here. They can bring their friends, other family members. Let's really get behind this youth group that Pastor Stephen is trying to get started again. Also, a few changes in the bulletin. The grief support is on Monday. It's indicated as Tuesday this week, but grief support will be here tomorrow in the church instead of Tuesday. Also, Bible study scheduled for this Wednesday has been canceled. There will be no Bible study until Wednesday, October 4th. So that's next, I was thinking it's 2 weeks, but that's next Wednesday already, October 4th, Bible study. Diane has an announcement.
You'll see in your bulletins a message about the Raleigh Ringers. The Raleigh Ringers are a professional handbell group that are just fantastic. I mean, you haven't lived until you've heard Pinball Wizard on handbells. And they will be performing at Carnegie Music Hall in December. And I have an option until September 30th to get group tickets at the discount rates that are in your bulletin. There's a handling charge on top of that. I'm not asking for money right now. I'm going to trust that each of you who would like to go will pay me after, so I can pay my Discover bill. But if you would like to go to the concert, or if you have a group of people, I can order tickets in groups of 10. If you would like to go to that concert, we're going to try to carpool from here. If anybody needs a ride, let me know. Today, preferably, but by the middle of the week at the latest, so I can get the order in. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And certainly a very talented group, but also if you want to take in some aesthetic beauty, the Carnegie Music Hall, that's the one in Homestead, right, Diane? Oh, in Oakland. Okay, there is one in, the one in Homestead is gorgeous. Certainly the one in Oakland is equally or even more so. Also, just a few quick two reminders. UMCOR is still collecting for flood buckets. There is information in the Narthex on items that are needed. And just a final reminder, because it is fast approaching our Music Ministry Sunday that Diane Runser is coordinating, we are asking for favorite Sunday school songs. And as I reminded you last Sunday, try to really dig back deep into your youth, and let's have a wonderful morning of memories. And just a final reminder to take a look at the remaining announcements and other activities in the life of our church. I would now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship.
Thank you.
Let's give it up again for Cool Cat, Diane. I'll tell you, if you weren't tapping your toes, you better check your pulse because you are dead. All right, now in seriousness, let's turn to our worship. I would ask that you rise for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Please recite your response to my prompt. I cry aloud to God, aloud that God may hear me. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old.
I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds.
Your way, O God, is holy.
What God is great like our God?
You are the God who works wonders. You manifested your might among the peoples.
You redeemed with your arm your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph.
Please remain standing for our first hymn, number 127, in your red hymnal.
Loves you. Bunches and bunches, right? Oh, I got a secret. Come here. Okay, so let's ask, let's see. Did anybody here have to wear a uniform, or do you wear a uniform for work? If you do, raise your hand. Who? Used to? Yeah, if you used to, raise your hand. Okay. Could you tell me, describe your uniform to me, to us? What did you wear? Scrubs, nurse's scrubs? Okay, nurse's scrubs. What did you wear? Scrubs? White? Okay, khaki pants, polo shirt.
I had to wear suit and tie.
Suit and tie? Okay. Works. Chris, did you say you had a... So what was? Okay.
Their symbol on it.
Okay, for choir. Yeah. So, my dad was he was police chief in Port View, not too far from here, and my dad always wore a uniform, and he had the hat, and he wore the badge, and He had the gun belt, and he had patches on his sleeves, and when people would see him, they would know, hey, there's a policeman, there's the police chief, you know. And so he had his uniform. So my question to you is, what uniform do Christians wear? When people look at us, how do they know we're a Christian? Anybody? Could wear a cross around your neck, but there's a lot of Christians that aren't, a lot of people who aren't Christians who wear crosses around their necks. Yeah, just the jewelry to them. By the way we act, by the way we treat people. In other words, the uniform that we wear is a uniform of love. It's how we treat people, how we love them, that's going to tell people who we are. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. So now, what I want you to do is, I want you to go and tell somebody the secret that I told you. Okay? Tell a couple people. Okay. And of course, the big secret was that Jesus loves us just the way we are. We don't have to change one little bit. We don't have to get better, do anything special. Just believe in Jesus. He loves us just the way we are. And the more people we tell that Jesus loves them the way they are, the better. And we help people, we love them, because Jesus said to, then people will know that we're Christians. So they'll know Christians by the way we treat them. Okay? Let's pray. Here, we can have that now. And, dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us with your love, one for the other and for others, Lord. We pray that people see Jesus in us. For this we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
Thank you, Diane and choir. The word of God this morning is from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 30 in your Revised Standard Version Pew Bible. Hear Paul's words. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If it is to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. Excuse me. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear omen to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict which you saw and now hear to be mine. Here ends the reading of Paul's advice to the Philippians. I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we're giving you the remote control to our lives, for we give unto these tithes and these offerings, knowing that they represent all that we have and all that we are, and we give with a cheerful heart, for we indeed are a blessed people, and without you we would have nothing. Without you, all of this would mean nothing. And so, God, we pray that you would receive our lives as living sacrifices and pour out your Spirit upon us and guide us and direct us. Bless and multiply these offerings, Lord. Use them as you see fit for your honor and glory and praise. Bless those who gave and those who weren't able to give, Lord. Bless them. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Joys and concerns. Beautiful sunshine, gorgeous weather all this week. Then come the weekend, supposed to get back to normal temperatures and some rain. Other joys. Beautiful music. Patty came home from transition. Anybody watch the Penn State football game yesterday? What a nail-biter, huh? Last play of the game, they win. Yay! Good game. Last week, we had the covered dish dinner. The speaker, Reverend Ed Bailey from the United Methodist Foundation, who talked to us about different ways to give to the church to support the ministry. He was very good at that. And then we had our magician, Reverend Jeff Vanderhoff, who was very, very enjoyable, and we hope to have him come back. A lot of fun. So that was a joy last week.
Indoor plumbing.
Thank you, Connie, my personal favorite. Yes, indoor plumbing. Fresh vegetables. Our families. Yep. Cars that run. Okay, your Sunday school class. If you are thankful, joyful for the blessings that God has given to you, raise your hand. And for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. My homework, your homework, our privilege to stand in the gap, to be an intercessor, and to do battle for other people. And these are not just words, my brothers and sisters. This is the power of Almighty God. We want to pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our church, for first responders, addicts, men and women in the military. Those are our regulars. Who else do we want to pray for? The hurricane victims, past and present. Okay, for disaster victims, earthquakes, fires, mudslides. Okay, Christine. Okay, pray for karma. It's the name of the dog, right?
Yeah, but it just sounds funny saying pray for karma.
Oh, pray for karma. Not, is it K-A-R-M-A?
K. It's a K.
It is K?
Yeah, karma.
Well, what goes around comes around. Right.
Hannah has one, too.
Yes, Hannah.
My mom's friend Jean, her daughter Kathy is very, very ill.
Is that Kathy?
Yeah. And then also Jean's sister is also in the hospital. They both are in Texas. So Jean's on her way there.
And Jean's sister's name, do you know?
I don't know her first name, no.
Okay. For Kathy and Jean's sister. Any other prayer requests? Let's remember our own David and Doris, Virginia. Pray for Pastor Stephen and the youth group, the youth ministry. Anybody else? Yep. Don't forget the people on the back of our bulletins. Pray for them. Joe. Unspoken, raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. And for all this, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are greater than any problem that we have. We believe, God, that with you all things are possible. We believe, God, that you love us and that you want the very best for us, for Jesus has come to give us an abundant life. And so, God, we thank you and praise you for the blessings that we do have. Forgive us whenever we take them for granted. And, Lord, we also lift up into the light and love of your presence all of the people that we have made known here today. Lord, we have a long list, people for our continuous prayers and this month's prayer list, our service personnel, those who are in personal care and rehabilitation facilities. A lot of people, Lord. Help us to lift up each and every one of them individually by name. Lord, we lift up to you our country and our country's leaders, our church, first responders, those who are suffering from addiction, their family and friends, men and women in the military and their families. We lift up to you Kathy and Jean's sister, and David and Doris in Virginia, Pastor Stephen in the youth ministry, Joe. Storm victims, disaster victims, Christine. And Lord, our pets, they become family. We lift up karma unto you. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a mighty work. You know what needs to be done in all these situations with all these people. We trust in you, God. We believe, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. It's not a maybe, not a could be, not a good thought, not something written by man alone. It was inspired, guided, directed by the Holy Spirit. It is the word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. I love doing sermons, preparing for the sermon. I get all excited when it's time for me to read over the scriptures and then pray about where God wants me to go with it. It's so exciting. You know, like, what has God got for me today? Because you know, when you've been doing it long enough, it might just take you someplace you never thought. It's wonderful. It's almost magical. And for 24, going on 25 years, every sermon that I've done, I've written out longhand. And when I'm done, I fold it up and I put them in a drawer. And then at the end of the year, or after so long, I take them all out of the drawer, I put them in bags, and I write my name on them and sometimes a date. And I throw that bag into a cupboard somewhere. And so I've got all these bags of sermons that I have done all over the place. And, you know, I think someday, maybe for posterity's sake, my children will take them out and want to read them, see what they can learn from dear old dad. And Bonnie sits there and smiles because she knows they'll probably take them out and burn them. It's probably what will happen to them, but it's fun. It's exciting. And so I want to give you a word. And I know that I've mentioned this word before, but I'm going to give it to you again. I want you to use it with your friends. I want you to tell them that the Bible, the Word of God, Scriptures, are multivalent. Okay, so on the count of three, say multivalent. One, two, three. Multivalent. Okay, multivalent, multivalent. Yeah, the Scriptures are multivalent. That means they have layer after layer of meaning. Like an onion, you keep peeling back layers. And every time you read and study the scriptures, you'll get one meaning out of it. And then you read and study them again, you get another meaning out of it. And you can study the same passage over and over and over again. And it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And so, you know, I've only repeated maybe a half a dozen sermons in all these years. Now, I've preached from the same scripture passages. Pericopes, they're called. I've preached from the same ones over and over again, but not the same message. It's always fun and exciting. It's like this message here. You know, these workers who had put more time and effort into the day felt that they deserved more money than those who were hired later, much later. Some of them only worked an hour, and they all got paid the same amount of money, and they were grumbling. Well, you know, I read that, and I said, boy, this reminds me of our athletes and politicians and CEOs and union workers and, you know, people who have contracts. People who have contracts, they've agreed to work under certain conditions for a certain amount of money, and then all of a sudden they want more money. So they want to break their contract. You know, you just can't do that. It's not right. And yet they do it all the time. People just don't seem to care. You know, hey, I had a good year last year. I think I should be paid more money. Well, you've got a contract. It expires in 2 years. You can renegotiate then. And they say, no, want to renegotiate now. And they hold out. They don't show up because they want more money. They feel they deserve more. How many people here know who Ted Williams was? Ted Williams, okay. Ted Williams was a baseball player back in the days of Mickey Mantle. Korean War. Ted Williams played for the Boston Red Sox, one of the best pure hitters in baseball. His batting average many years was over 400, which is like unheard of. If you're batting in the 200s, the mid to upper 200s, you're doing good. You're batting in the 300s, you're really, really doing good. Ted Williams batted in the 400s. Now, he was cantankerous, Ted Williams was. He was cantankerous. He didn't get along with the fans. He didn't get along with the media. He wouldn't tip his hat to his fans. They would boo him for something, and he'd give them, well, an obscene gesture. And he just gave people a hard time. He had no tact and no discipline. But he was a man of principle. He was a man of principle. He served 8 years in the service as an aviator pilot. And he took those 8 years. They came out of his baseball career. Just imagine what he might have done, the records he could have run up. But he said, you know what? It didn't matter. He was patriotic. He said, it was my duty to serve. He was a man of honor. Though he would ruffle people's skin, you know, their fur, just upset a lot of folks. Ted Williams got up there in age, and he was making about as much as you can make in baseball. It was like over $125,000 at the time, which in that day and age was a lot of money. He had the highest contracts in baseball. And 1 year he hit in the 300s. I don't know, it was 380, 350, something like that. And the next year, Dick McConnell, his general manager, wanted to sign him up for a new contract. And he told Ted, he says, Ted, we're going to pay you the same amount we paid you last year. And Ted says, no, I don't deserve it. He said, I didn't have a good year last year. And he said, well, that don't matter to us, Ted. We're going to pay you anyways. And Ted said, no. He said, I won't take it. He said, I want a 30% pay cut because that's all I deserve. That always impressed me that he did that. See, there's a lot of religious people, a lot of church people, holy people, who think they're better than others, who look down their noses at other people because they've been around longer, they've done more work. They've held some pretty important positions. And so they look down on the people who are new, people who are young, people who are living on the outskirts of society, who maybe don't come to church. They look down on them because they are important. I've been around a long time. I've done all this work. I've earned a right to look down my nose at you. It's not how it works, is it? Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says that we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Those workers agreed to work for a denarius. They got what they agreed to work for. We who are in the church, the religious people, we agreed to work for the Lord because we love him. Because he first loved us. And we know that through our faith in Jesus, salvation is ours. There's nothing we can do to earn more. There's nothing we can do to earn less. But through our faith in Jesus, we are saved. John 3:16. It's God's promise to everybody. Whether you've been in the church and worked year after year after year, or whether this is your first day in church. Somebody once asked me, do you believe in deathbed confessions? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. Death has a way of making you think twice. So you know you're going to die. Death is imminent. All of a sudden you review your life. You think about the things people have told you. And you want to repent of your sin and ask Jesus into your life. Is that genuine? You bet it is. See, God knows the difference. God won't be mocked. You can't say, I'm going to go out and live my life the way I want to,
and then at the last moment, I'll accept Jesus. God knows what's real and what's not. But for those of you who wonder about that, deathbed confessions, absolutely. You can be a scoundrel all your life and accept Jesus at the last moment. Because if it's real, and for some reason the doctor finds a cure, you're no longer the same person. You're a new creature in Christ. Everybody gets what they deserve, and the only thing we deserve is Jesus, you know, because of what he's done for us. We don't get any extra for the hard work that we do. How many of you know who Jerry Sandusky is? Yep. Now, you may or may not know this. I was Jerry's pastor for many years after he was in prison down in Greene County. And I would go in and visit with Jerry. And I told Jerry right off the bat, I'm not here to decide whether or not you're innocent or guilty. I said, I'm only here to make sure you know Jesus. And he said, I do. He said, I do. Jerry was a very devout United Methodist, devout churchgoer. We had many a prayer in that prison. And I want to tell you, it was not an easy thing. I'd have to go in, sign in, they'd search me. I'd have to take a paper and walk through metal doors. You had to wait for them to clang open, and then they'd clang shut behind you, and then you'd walk down a hall, and another guard would check you out, and you'd go up to another door, and it would open up, and you'd step inside, it would close, and then the door in front of you would open, and you'd walk down this long, long hallway. And there's windows on both sides, and there's a dog kennel out here, and there's barbed wire out there, and you go all the way down, and you come to another guard, you go through another double set of doors, and then you go up to the guard, and he's in a glassed-in room, and you open up a chute, and you put the paper in there, and he looks at the paper, and he says, okay, you can go see Jerry. Actually, you can go see prisoner, whatever the number was. And there was this waiting room, and around the waiting room were these cubicles. And you'd open up the door and step into the cubicle, and there'd be a glass window in front of you with a little shelf. And on the other side of that glass window was another little shelf, a chair, and Jerry would stand there with his hands shackled together, shackled to his waist, his feet shackled together with a big smile on his face. And then I'd come in. When I sat, he sat. And we would talk. There was glass in between us. There were holes around the glass so that we could hear each other. And I talked with him about Jesus. Gave him things that he could do for ministry, like praying for the prisoners and praying for the guards. And we talked about how difficult it was being in solitary confinement for going on 10 years. Getting a shower once a week, getting to go out in the yard 1 hour a day sometimes, and sometimes not for days on end. And I'd tell him about Jesus, and he'd cry. And we'd have pretend communion. I would pretend to have communion, and he'd pretend to do it with me. And then I would bless his food. So that when he went back to his cell and he would get dinner that night, he'd tear off a piece of bread and he'd save a little bit of juice, and then he would take communion. And we want to say, but I was never charged with child abuse. I'm better than he is. He deserves the love of Christ as much as anybody else. But our sensibilities have been hurt. And we said, it doesn't work that way in the world. It's not right. There are a lot of people out there who have done terrible things. Jesus died for all of them. And if they accept him, they get the same reward that we do, we who have been in the church all our lives. And it's not up to us to look down on those folks. It is up to us to show them Jesus. We've got to show them the uniform that we wear, the uniform of love, so that they can see Christ in us. So no matter what people look like, no matter what kind of walk of life they come from, they all deserve to see Jesus in us. It's our job. We are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is extravagant. Because no matter what people have been through, God's grace is not just for us who dress decent and come to church and get involved. God's grace is for everybody. For the person in the gutter, for the person who's done horrible things. The love of God is for everybody. So, let's repent of our sins. Let's repent of our pride, because Proverbs tells us that pride comes before fall. Let's thank God for our salvation. And let's go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. God, forgive us when we've thought we were better than other people. Forgive us, God. Help us to love the unlovable. Help us to reach down into the gutter and to lift those up who have poor self-images. Help us to share the love of Christ with everybody we come in contact with. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.